As you can see, we're looking at two parts of God's Word this morning. The first from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." Next part is from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And this is spoken by Jesus. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Now, maybe this is a terrible thing to say at Christmas, but the truth is that I've never, ever liked nativity scenes. You know, there's the cute baby Jesus peacefully laying in the manger. You know, everyone, the mum, dad, the shepherds, the donkeys, the sheep, the angels, they're all crowding quietly in, contentedly, like ooing and ahhing and cooing, and the lights somehow glowing perfectly, and the music's so tranquil? tranquil and peaceful. I was in the rush of the morning. I forgot to, but I was going to bring, we've actually got it at our place, a little, the kids have a nativity scene and you wind it up and it goes round and round. It plays the most beautiful music, baby Jesus sort of spins peacefully around, and the kids, they absolutely love it. But me, on the other hand, I've never liked nativity scenes. For years I've said, it would have been nothing like that. The animals, they would have been, you know, neighing and bleating and ee-awing, and it was a stable, it was dirty and stinky, and Jesus was probably crying, and the parents were exhausted and stressed. But this week, I came to the realization that maybe I've been wrong all this time. See, I realised, and I'm not sure if I'm right or not, but I realised that maybe all these nativity scenes are so peaceful because they're sort of like sending a message about the peace and tranquility and rest that the baby in the manger brings. See, normally babies bring noise and chaos and tiredness to those around them, but maybe the nativity scenes are at least sort of hinting that this baby brings the opposite, that he brings rest and peace. Now, I'm not 100% sure if that's the case or not. I like to think that perhaps it is. But we certainly know that when this baby grew up, he offered an invitation all about rest and peace, an invitation to come and find rest and peace in him. Last Sunday at carols, we focused on the first line of Jesus' invitation, the "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." And at carols, I spoke about how weary a lot of us are at the moment. And I said, I think the cause of our weariness is not just the busyness of life, the chaotic busyness of life, but also the brokenness of life, the way that stuff in our world and in our personal lives just sort of grinds us down and exhausts us. And at carols, we saw the astonishing offer of rest that Jesus gives, the offer that if we come and lay ourselves upon him, then we will find rest for our souls. Now, to me, that sounds exactly like what I need. Soul rest, a rest from carrying my own burdens, a rest from trying to measure up, a rest where I can be at peace in Him. But is it possible? Why can Jesus provide rest like this? Why is this person from all those years ago able to offer me soul rest? Well, Jesus himself answers the question and he gives us his reason. And the reason he gives is not because of his great power, although he did claim to be the ruler of all. The reason he gives is not because of his high status, although he did claim to be the Son of God. Instead, according to Jesus, the reason why he can give us rest is because of his heart, because of who he is on the inside. You can see what he says there in the invitation itself. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Why can Jesus bring us rest? Well, he says it's because he's gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we'll spend the rest of our short time together meditating on. We'll be meditating on the heart of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever done that before. Have you ever pondered on what Jesus is really actually like? Well, it may be the key to finding rest this Christmas. We'll do that now just for a few minutes. We'll zoom in on Jesus' heart. He says, "I'm gentle and lowly in heart." And we'll be, in particular, there's a book that's helped me think this through called Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. And well worth a read if you're interested in books and that sort of thing. So Jesus says he's gentle and lowly in heart. And for Jesus to be gentle in heart means he's not harsh. He doesn't retaliate with knee-jerk reactions. Sometimes you go to someone and try to apologize for something you've done and they just snap your head off. Well, Jesus will never do that. That's not who he is. There's a gentleness about him that sort of seeps into all his ways. So the next chapter, chapter 12, says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." So you can picture a candle just sputtering along, one tiny breath of wind and it's gone. Well, no matter how bruised or faintly flickering a person is, they come to Jesus and he'll never snuff them out. He's so tender, not so much with his hands, but from his heart. And of course, it's not that Jesus will never judge or correct or give us a stern warning, but even in that, there's a gentleness about him. By nature, he's tender. He uses his huge power not to lord it over people, but to tenderly lift up and empower others. That's Jesus' gentleness, and right next to it, almost sort of overlapping in meaning, is his lowliness. Sometimes it's translated humble in heart, other times lowly. And the original word here has got to do with humiliation. It means to be destitute or thrust down by life circumstances. So the Bible says, "Mary was of humble estate, a poor peasant girl," or it says, "Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly." And for Jesus to be lowly in heart means that he's accessible. So even though Jesus is in the highest place of all, the very Son of God, the ruler of the universe, even though he's all that, he's the most accessible human being of all. Whatever our low level is, he'll meet us right there. Coming downness, descent, lowliness, it's part of his very nature, who he is. He's gentle and lowly in heart. Say, go over to your friend's place and they've had a new baby and they say, "Would you like to have a hold?" And you see the baby and you reach down low and you gently scoop it from the bassinet and you hold it tenderly with a warm glow on your face. Well, that's the sort of lowliness and gentleness that embodies Jesus' heart. And not just some of the time, but all of the time. See, this is Jesus' deepest heart. He could no more stop being gentle and lowly than we could change our bone structure. This is him. And to all those who come to him, he never gets fed up. He never gets frustrated. It's not like our failures pile up until eventually he lashes out in anger. No, he deals gently with every failed, messed up person who comes to him. Now, I think a lot of the time, many of us think of Jesus' heart very differently to this. Perhaps we think, yeah, I suppose he's loving, but we think him loving us is almost something he has to do rather than something he wants to do. Say your friend comes to you with a big sort of pussy oozing wound, say on their back, you know, it's seriously gross and it's stinky and it's actually stinky and it's inflamed. And because they need your help and because they're your friend, you clean it up. And, you know, you turn your nose up, you cringe, you grit your teeth, but you do it. Well, I think Jesus, he actually has some solid reasons at times to turn his nose up at us. He can see all of us, even the bits we try to hide from everyone, even the bits we shy away from thinking about ourselves in our minds that we avoid even thinking about. He can see all that, but he's not at all turned off. He never turns his nose up, not even in the slightest, not even a little bit. No matter what we've done or who we are, he never cringes when he looks at us, never shivers in disgust, never just helps us because it's his duty. His heart is filled with love. He comes down to us and deals gently with every wayward soul that comes to him. He deals gently with everyone who comes to him. This isn't all an act, you know, a show, a costume that he puts on. This isn't him saying he's gentle when in reality he's something totally different. There's this TV show called The Boys. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. I started watching it, then quickly turned it off. But anyway, this show, The Boys, it's about a group of superheroes called The Seven. These seven superheroes, they paint themselves as the most clean-cut, wonderful saviors of humanity. But it's all fake. Underneath, they're the most aggressive, vile people who love to abuse their powers. But Jesus isn't like them. He isn't someone who paints himself as a savior, puts on a big fake show of gentle-heartedness, but underneath, he's an arrogant, angry, nasty person. How do we know that? Well, we know because he did the second most and the most gentle and lowly things of all. The second most is what we celebrate at Christmas, that he gave up his place in heaven and became a lowly human creature. He, the divine one, became a baby who needed his bottom wiped, who became a frail man, who got sick and hurt. And the most gentle and lowly thing was that he gave up all his power and he let himself be led away naked to a humiliating Roman cross, and he didn't fight back, he didn't retaliate. Instead, he said, "Father, forgive them." And there upon the cross hung the beating heart of Jesus for all to see. So gentle, so lowly, his life given for ours. That's Jesus' heart. And out of his gentle and lowly heart, he invites us to come to him and find rest. And by offering rest, Jesus isn't promising a good night's sleep or a Christmas holiday to the Bahamas. Jesus is offering you rest for your soul, a rest from having to prove yourself, a rest from trying to measure up, a rest from having to be somebody that you're not. Jesus has labored and worked for us. He's measured up in every way so we never have to. And if you accept his invitation, if you come to him, you'll know a sort of inner rest where you can breathe easy and know the work is done. It's a peace that comes because you know Jesus is dealing gently with you. You're accepted, you're loved, you're secure in him, in his gentle care. And of course, it's far from a perfect rest. We'll still be ground down by the brokenness of life, but it's a real rest that we can taste now and will one day blossom into a forever rest. Now, of course, you're more than welcome to say no to Jesus' invitation, but if you do that, don't expect this sort of rest. Your life will be more of a treadmill. You'll work and you'll chase and pursue and always fall short. And even when you take time out to rest, you'll notice a nagging sense of pressure and disappointment. See, when you work for it yourself, rest is elusive. But really, today is an invitation to join in that nativity scene. to find calm and peace in the one who was laid in a manger, to center your life, to fix your gaze upon him and look upon his heart, his gentle and lowly heart. Now, of course, like there was in the stable, there'll be stenches and messiness and noisy eaws of life, but you'll find in him the most gentle and lowly person, and in him there's rest. Let's pray together now. Father, thank you for this astonishing invitation from Jesus to come and find rest in him. But thank you more than that for the person that we meet in Jesus, a person so gentle, so lowly, a person who loves so dearly and treats us so kindly. Help us to see his heart so that we can find rest in him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.